Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Man, in his desire for spirituality, has always pursued some kind of religious practice or spiritual revelation. But the book of Galatians reveals so clearly that God is not interested in man's religion. God is interested in revealing one thing, and that is to reveal His Son and to reveal Him in us, His believers. Please stay with us as we see that God's Son is different from man's religion on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Today brings us to our 3rd program in the Life Study of Galatians. And joining us today as we begin to get a little deeper into this wonderful short epistle of the Apostle Paul to the believers of Christ in the region of Galatia is Francis Ball. Francis, thank you for being with us today.
I'm always happy to join this life study.
Francis, as a background for our program today, I think we need a few verses from Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking about his own history. For you have heard of my manner of life formerly in Judaism, that I persecuted the church of God excessively and ravaged it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries in my race, being more abundantly a zealot for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might announce Him as the gospel among the Gentiles, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood. Francis, this Saul of Tarsus was quite a character, wasn't he?
He certainly was quite a character.
The view that we're getting in Galatians is that Christ is really something much different from religion. This may be shocking news, I think, to some of our listeners. But how do Paul's own words in this passage give us a hint of the comparison that this book will make between these two things?
Well, here Paul's experience is in religion. He is recounting or he is exposing his own history, how he was in a religion that actually persecuted the church of God. And he advanced in that religion, he said himself in what you just quoted. And he was a zealot for the traditions of his fathers. He was really into religion, and not just any religion, but a religion was based even on the Bible. But there's a vast difference between religion and the person of Christ. And this is what we're going to see today. We will see, even in Paul's experience, that there is a tremendous ocean of difference between religion and Christ.
Well, in our first portion today, we're going to go back to what we alluded to in the opening of our broadcast, and that is that man always seeks to have something new revealed to him, especially in this spiritual realm. But we're going to see that what God desires to reveal may not be what we expect. Let's join Witness Lee.
In these 4 verses, in chapter 1, 13 through 16, God's Son versus man's religion, you do have such a concept. Firstly, in these 4 verses, Paul tells us that he was in the religion. He said, "You have heard of my manner of life formerly in Judaism." Judaism really means the Jewish religion. I persecuted the church. Here you have a contrast between the Jewish religion and the church of God. I persecuted the church of God excessively and ravaged it. He was so religious to the uttermost that he even persecuted the church of God because the church of God was something different from his religion. And this something different became so strong that a part, even a great part, of his religion was stolen away. So he hated the church. He persecuted the church of God because he was too religious. Then verse 14 says, and I advanced in the Jewish religion beyond my many contemporaries. In my race, he was a top religionist, more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Here, just in these short words, a strong religion has been described. These two or three verses gives us a strong picture of a certain strong religion. Then there is a big but in the following verse. But when it pleased God, God was the one who gave the timing. When it pleased God, it seemed that God said to Saul of Tarsus, okay, Saul, be more exceedingly zealous of your father's traditions. That's good. Good for my purpose. You be zealous. The more you be zealous, the darker a background you will give me. Exactly on that day, when Saul of Tarsus was going from Jerusalem down to Damascus, on that day, it pleased God to knock him down. It pleased God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Well, I was so zealous of my father's religion, God was pleased to reveal a living person to me. The crucial point is this living person, God's son versus man's religion. Dear saints, not only during the time of Saul of Tarsus, it was so even since that time up to today, through all the centuries, men would always pay their attention to a kind of religion, to a kind of a tradition, other than this living person. But the Bible reveals to us a living person. From Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, what is revealed in the Word of God is absolutely a living person. God doesn't care for anything else. God only cares for this living person.
Well, Francis, I was impressed with the focus of this first section today. Throughout the ages, it seems it's always been the same. Man is caught up with various spiritual or religious pursuits, and we really always want to see something new or revolutionary. But God's desire, even his pleasure, according to the Bible, is only to reveal one thing, Christ in us. What's the difference, Francis, between God revealing a new religion and God revealing Christ in us?
Well, that's kind of a funny question because God doesn't reveal a new religion. God does not reveal a religion, period. But in coming to the Bible, throughout our history, there has been always this attempt to make a religion out of the Bible and even take any one portion of the Bible and make a religion out of it. But the whole Bible is not involved in revealing a religion, new or old. There is a religion, and there are different religions, but they're always man's attempt to try to do something for God apart from God. What the Bible reveals is a marvelous and wonderful, glorious person, Christ. Christ is not a religion. Christ is not a former of certain kind of religion or the head of a certain kind of religion. Christ is a living person revealed in the Bible, and when I say revealed in the Bible, I mean the entire Bible is revealing Christ, even in types and shadows of the Old Testament, but in the reality in the New Testament. So I feel like we're really on a hot subject here, Chris, in this study of Galatians, because the difference between religion and Christ is something that needs to be proclaimed from the housetops. that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a religion.
Francis, your exercise and your passion that came through there as you were responding to that question is borne out by the way the text is even structured in the New Testament, these verses that we read. The Apostle Paul had every opportunity to say that God revealed a new way of worship to me, or God revealed a new religious way to me, but he was so specific. God's pleasure was to reveal his Son in me. This is really the key point if we're going to have any glimpse of the reality in the book of Galatians, isn't it?
That's right. His purpose and his pleasure is to reveal his Son in me.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, Francis.
The focus of the whole Bible is not a practice. It's not a kind of doctrine. It's not a kind of ordinance, but a living person. Dear saints, I do have a heavy burden to tell you who this living person is. It says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Concerning the Son of God, you have to look into the Lord to take away your old concept. If you do have the adequate light to see the record of the New Testament, you will see whenever the Son of God is mentioned, the Father is involved. You can never keep the Son separate from the Father. Whenever the Son of God is mentioned, God the Father is involved, not only so, and God the Spirit is related. A wrong concept divides, separates the Son from the Father. And it separates, it divides the Spirit from the Son. These are three separate, distinct persons. But the Bible doesn't say this way. When Paul says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, why he didn't say, it pleased God to reveal Christ in me? Why he didn't say this way? Why? Why he says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me? Why? Because just say Christ, there is not that much involvement. But when you say the Son of God, you have the involvement of the Father, and you have the relationship with the Spirit. Whenever the Son is mentioned, the Father is here, and the Spirit is here. In these 100 chapters of his writing, Paul has made it so clear. If you have the Son, the Father is here. If you have the Son, the Spirit is here. Actually, what is the Son? The Son is the embodiment of the triune God, realized in his Spirit for our enjoyment. When Paul says, he preached God to reveal his Son in me, it means what? It means the very embodiment of the triune God realized in the processed and all-inclusive Spirit.
Francis, the verses that we read earlier and that we're still talking about say that when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, why is it significant that it does not say to reveal Christ in me?
You know, I'm so happy for this ministry that brings out these points to us that are so meaningful, and yet we missed them. I have to admit that I read Galatians a number of times, but that absolutely escaped me. I never considered why it would be his Son instead of Christ. But after what has been shared today, we have to realize that this is a very, very significant distinction. To say Christ means only Christ the Son in that sense. But to say his Son, that involves the Father, involves the Spirit, involves Christ as the embodiment of the Father, because here he's called the Son. He is the Son. When you say Son, you spontaneously involve the Father. And of course, to be involving the Father, you certainly involve the Spirit. The term His Son is so inclusive and really includes the whole triune God. And this is the one embodied in Christ who is the one who is revealed to us in this passage. This is the one that the Apostle Paul saw. This was a revelation that I'm sure he could never diminish at all. When he went through and he was writing these epistles and he came to this one, I believe he didn't have to think twice to say that it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, because he saw the triune God in this. And this is what we need to see. This is what we have missed a lot in today's theology, of seeing the triune God is the one who is revealed to the Apostle Paul when he said it pleased God to reveal His Son in me.
When you go back and look in the book of Acts chapter 9, and we see the account of Paul's first encounter with the Lord Jesus, of course, it seemed like there was something going on outwardly. Paul was struck. He had a vision, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Christ, of course, revealed himself. But when Paul retells the story here in Galatians, it's God revealing His Son in him. As you said, that was the vision, the revealing of the whole triune God in Paul. The problem is we have a hard time sometimes getting out of the book of Acts and getting into the more intrinsic things that were later his ministry.
Yeah, that's right. He did say, "I am Jesus." But when Paul had that realization and that revelation, when he recounts it, he uses a term that's much more inclusive, much more involving of the triune God.
Right. Francis, let's go back and get another treat as we get further into this ministry.
We, the human beings, due to the fall, are so much anything for everything, for all things other than Christ. We may be very zealous for the church service. We may be very zealous for this, for that, but not for Christ. We need to see a living person. And this living person is all-inclusive. This living person includes God the Father, includes God the Son, includes God the Spirit, includes God, includes man, includes divinity, includes humanity. This living person is altogether so all-inclusive. Yet, he's so practical. Practical to such an extent that he's now right in your spirit. And he's there in the heavens as the Lord, as the head, as the King of Kings, as God's Christ, as the heavenly high priest, as the heavenly minister. He's there as so many items. Yet, he's so practical. He's right in you. And this dear one who is so inclusive in you is everything. One day, while he was on the way, Saul was knocked down by this living person's looking. The living person came, just had a little look at him. Then he called, "Lord, who are you?" "I'm Jesus." Jesus is living. Jesus comes to you. A living one comes. From that day, the veil was taken away. His smart mind was enlightened. He began to see a living person. A living person. Not any kind of tradition. We have to pray that we ourselves may see such a vision. And we have to pray for so many others that they may see a living person rather than a Sabbath day. We have to pray that so many may see such a living person rather than the head covering, rather than the divine healing, rather than the prophecies, much rather than thus saith the Lord. Without this living person, at the reality, at the real contents of our church life, even our church life becomes a tradition. We must see this living person. Oh, we need to see this living person, the Son of the living God, who is the very embodiment of the triune God, and who is now fully being realized by the processed life-giving spirit. Don't treasure your Bible knowledge. Don't treasure your experience. Don't treasure what you know. Don't treasure what you have. Don't treasure your spiritual attainment. Whatever you have attained means nothing. You must daily, hourly, momentarily experience such a living one, a living person. What is the church? The church is the body of such a living person. The church is a practical living expression of such a living person. And this living person is wonderful. A living person, not a religion. Judaism was a religion formed by man. In that letters, with vain tradition. But the Son of God is life. His life, the uncreated, eternal life of God, as the all-inclusive spirit with the divine reality. What do you want? Which of these two do you want? I don't want any religion. I want this living person.
Francis, a lot of stress today on one primary point, and that is we need to be fully and uniquely centered on a living person, a wonderful living person. Francis, comment on the idea that even our understanding of the church has to be in this context.
Certainly, if we have to see Christ is not a religion but a living person, we have to realize that the church, which is his body, not his organization. So many times, Chris, Christians get involved in their Christian practice, or their church practice, I would say, so that they are taken up with minor things, and even some that may not be so minor, at least to them, but they are not centered on Christ. Just as we have to see that Christ is a person, a living person, we must realize that the church that Christ is building, the church that is his body, is not an organization, it is not a religion, it is not a set of rules and regulations, it's not certain practices of whether you have tongue speaking or you're lengthening legs or any of these far out things that sometimes really occupy people to such an extent that they miss the living person of Christ. So the church must be seen as a living organism of which all the redeemed ones, the saved ones, are members. This is a body, not the organization of Jesus. It is the body of Christ. We must see this, Chris, and I hope that our audience can get more and more realization of what this means to see the church as a living organism with Christ as the head and all the members as the body.
You know, Dick Taylor was here yesterday on our broadcast, and it was one of the introductory messages to the book of Galatians. And in it, we touched a number of the things that came from the Apostle Paul's ministry that really came nowhere else in the pages of the New Testament. And Paul's own word was that his ministry was to complete the Word of God. And we have so many items that were really not touched or at least developed in the Gospels. Without Paul's writings, we really would have not the complete revelation. But of all of those things, Francis, is there anything that's more profound or significant or worthy of the Christian's focus and getting into beyond this matter of the organic living nature of the church, the body of Christ?
We must see this. There's nothing more important and nothing more necessary for us to see to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Well, Francis, we have some time in front of us as we get further and further into this book and into the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the revelation of Paul. We will be back to this topic many more times in weeks to come. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for allowing me to participate in this.
Well, you're invited to come back very soon. And we invite you back again tomorrow. We're going deeper each day into the book of Galatians, and the vision continues to open. You will not want to miss it. Please be with us then. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.